This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As always, dial us up on the phones at 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, get at me, DA on CBS. Our next guest is part of the Pro Football Focus family. Former NFL defensive back, former member of the NFL on CBS, longtime friend of the DA show, our friend, senior NFL analyst Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, good morning.
DA, good morning to you, and glad to be on with you today.
Appreciate you, man. And let's go back to Monday night, Niners and Seahawks. It was a crazy game. Niners handed their first loss. Did you take away from that the Seahawks can be Super Bowl caliber, or did you think just crazy game, divisional foes, anything can happen?
No, I have a lot of respect for the San Francisco 49ers and their play calling and the prowess of that defensive front. And obviously you've got to respect Russell Wilson. He now has more fourth quarter come from behind wins than any quarterback since he has entered the league. What we were waiting to see from Seattle to see if they were serious players beyond Russell Wilson was, can they mount a good defense? And if Jadeveon Clowney continues to play like he did in the Monday night game,
yeah,
they will be formidable. They have other presence on defense, but they needed a special playmaker, pass rusher. And if he plays with that kind of energy, then I'm going to pencil them in as a contender in the NFC.
Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson might be the two front runners for the MVP right now. When you look at both of their play, it's spectacular. But if you look at both of their play, who's been more efficient in winning and making big plays for their teams?
It's still Russell Wilson. And I know Lamar Jackson has all the splash plays and his ability to transform that entire football team in terms of what they're doing in the running game. They run inside zone. He's part of that. They run power plays. He's part of that. They run this counter run play where he's also very efficient, and he's not turning the ball over. He has the lowest number of turnover-worthy plays for a quarterback who's played in all 10 games of any quarterback in the league, and that's five. Russell Wilson has six. Now, he's only had two interceptions, Russell Wilson, so both guys are playing at an extremely high level. But Russell Wilson truly is carrying his team. I think he's the front runner for MVP right now.
Solomon Wilcott joins us from Pro Football Focus. We just played an audio soundbite last hour of Saquon Barkley saying, I don't want to be shut down. I don't care if I've got the bum ankle. I want to keep playing, which is admirable. But we're wondering, why haven't the Giants been able to figure out an effective way to use Saquon this year? Do you think it's been injury, or do you think it's been just a lack of ingenuity and effectiveness from the coaching staff?
I think it's a combination of both. I think initially he came out with guns a-blazing, then he was injured. They had to shut him down. Then the offense kind of got into really trying to groom the quarterback, right? I mean, let's face it, when they put this game plan together, what is your priority? Let's get the ball to Saquon Barkley, or let's figure out how to help our young quarterback and bring him along. You have to choose one or the other. Now, I think Saquon can be part of that plan, but if he's less than 100%, then you can't really make him part of that plan maybe as much as you would like to. So I think it's a much more complicated equation, because if the Giants were being really, I think, forthcoming and transparent, they would say, look, our priority is to really help our young quarterback. We've got to figure out how we're going to get him going and keep him upright more than anything else.
What has the trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick meant to the Steelers' defense?
D.A., I was high on this move from the beginning. I thought he was a playmaker and chess piece missing from that defense since Troy Polamalu left the Steelers. I think the Dolphins were banking after the Steelers lost Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, let's go ahead and deal it, because this will be a very high pick. Steelers are going nowhere. What they forgot to do is check that under this head coach and Mike Tomlin, they have yet to have a losing season. They have never had a record worse than 8-8 since Mike Tomlin has been coaching now 13 years. And so that first-round pick is seems like it's going to be a low first-rounder. And if you're the Steelers, you get dividends now for a bill that's not going to be expensive later because this defense is as good as any at taking the ball away and scoring when they do so.
Solomon Wilcox joins us, Pro Football Focus. Let's keep on that track because I think a lot of people said, why would you trade a one? Those are so valuable. The Steelers never trade a one. But as you just mentioned, he was only two games into his second year on a rookie contract. So in reality, how smart was it for the Steelers to basically be trading for a first-round draft pick that just basically had a year under his belt?
I sat with people, and I've done other radio shows at that time in September, and they said, well, they may need a quarterback. Ben, we don't know if Ben's coming back. And I said, listen, the Steelers have always been resilient. If they win enough games, they win enough games to say 8-8 or better, this is a low first-round pick. And secondly, they need a player of this magnitude with a secondary I thought had been the Achilles heel for this team over the last 2 to 3 years. You saw week number one when Tom Brady picked this secondary apart, and he's done that in maybe each of the last 2 or 3 years. Now with a playmaker like Fitzpatrick, who's got a tremendously high football IQ, learned under Nick Saban at Alabama, he can make plays on the ball. He's showing that. You do not miss on getting a player like that. And he's a perfect fit for the Steel City, who we all know, they love defense. They love defensive playmakers. So I think it's a marriage made in heaven for a head coach who loves coaching the secondary. So, they did the right thing. They're stacking up the wins to even pay off the fact that this was a great move by the Steelers and Kevin Colbert.
What's your read on Brian Flores? 2 weeks ago when the Dolphins got their first win, he was handed the game ball. The players seemed to really respond and rally around him, really celebrating with him. Now he gets his second victory. It's a franchise that seemed like they were trying to tank early in the season by trading away all of their pieces. What does it say to you about the fact that Flores has been able to win a couple of games this year?
Yeah, I think organizationally, yeah, they were like, let's mortgage now for the future. If we get that first overall pick, great. Let's accumulate a bunch of picks and let's get the guys out of here who don't want to be here, okay? A player like Rashad Jones, who probably deserves to be on another roster, they tried to move him. They end up having to move Minkah Fitzpatrick because they were getting more overtures and more thrown at them for Fitzpatrick. But, you know, with Brian Flores as a coach, you know what you're going to do no matter what the organization says we want to do. A head coach is going to try to win every game. He's going to try to motivate the players that he has. Even though he may be going into a gunfight with a slingshot, he's still trying to win. And he's still trying to motivate his guys to give everything they have. So I think it's a credit to his ability to teach, to motivate his players, and still go out and win despite being shorthanded. I think it bodes well for his future moving forward. Now we have to see how they utilize these draft picks to accumulate assets who will fit in their structure, who will buy into the way that they want to do things.
Senior NFL analyst Solomon Wilcox for Pro Football Focus joining us this morning on the show. So Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, I certainly was very skeptical that this thing would work in the NFL. And this year, it's worked enough. I've been kind of surprised that it's worked this well. What's been your analysis, big picture, of what the Cardinals have done thus far and what you think the future is for Kyler and Cliff?
Yeah, I think what the future is, I'll answer the last part of that first. The future for the coach and the quarterback is maybe sets the tone for other teams moving forward, that you have to have a coach who can groom and develop the player at that position, who has the right idea for how to utilize that player so that they can fully develop and then help you win games. And then the rest is you got to develop a team around that player who that can help you win games. So, for instance, what does this mean now for Greg Roman, who's the coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, who has a system uniquely designed for Lamar Jackson that's helped them win a division title 1 year ago? It looks like they may contend for a trip to the Super Bowl this year. So Greg Roman is the next guy because, remember, he won with this formula in San Francisco as the coordinator with Colin Kaepernick. He had the league's number one rushing offense in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor. Now he's doing it again in Buffalo. So I think Greg Roman's stock is going to rise by what you're seeing with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. But this was a really good move by this team. They've got a marquee quarterback who's got tremendous arm talent that reminds you of Patrick Mahomes. He can move around as good as Lamar Jackson. And now he's just got to stay healthy, upright, and keep winning games in order for this model to continue to work. But if they keep it up, now remember, they're in a loaded division. So I don't know how the W's are going to come, but it sure looks good and looks like it's trending in the right direction.
Yeah. Finally, we're going to talk about this Colin Kaepernick workout coming up here on the show. So I'm interested to get your thoughts as well. Do you think there will be teams who are credibly interested in going and seeing him and thinking about adding him to a roster?
I think there will. I think enough time has passed since his last season in 2016 and since politically we had people fanning the flames to unite against him and sort of distorted that whole message, where I think it really did sort of it brought caution to some of the minds of general managers and owners saying that we're going to have protesters if we sign this guy. So I think enough time now has passed to where I think there might be one or two teams who would seriously consider signing Colin if he looks good in this workout, if he throws the ball with accuracy and we know he can move. What Lamar Jackson is doing now in the league, I think also has helping people to shape just potentially how he might even be used in an offense and how he can win games. You look at teams across the landscape of the NFL right now. You telling me teams like the Dolphins or teams like the Cincinnati Bengals or teams like the Redskins couldn't use a Colin Kaepernick right now? Oh, of course they could. And so, no, I think there'll be teams interested. I know people saying that this might be a farce in terms of what the league is doing. I understand corporate governance. Yes, they've already given a settlement to Colin Kaepernick. I'm not saying that's an admission of guilt, but it certainly isn't an admission of innocence, okay? And at the end of the day, for them to provide this platform, whether they mean it to be real or not, I think teams are going to be there doing their own business. And if he performs well, I think he could find his way back into the NFL.
That's really interesting. I think that's well said. PFF.com, premium stats and analysis, pro football focus. If you're an armchair GM, you're looking for fantasy advice, you're looking for gambling advice, this is a good place to get it. PFF.com, premium stats and analysis, promo code QB25, and get 25% off your elite subscription. Solomon, it's always awesome to catch up, my man. Thank you so much for doing it.
DA, you're the best. Thanks for having me.
Back at you. Solomon Wilcox joining us this morning on the show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.